Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Now back to Tom Tolbert and Adam Copeland.
Tolbert and Copes.
Download the KNBR app and listen anywhere, anytime. We are KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Yeah, I mean, I think something needs to change. I think we're playing really bad baseball. You could say as much as you want, you know, until we physically do something and make a change. I don't think we're going to see any results.
As a voice of Giants starting pitcher Carlos Rodon after the Giants' fifth straight loss yesterday, this time at the hands of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Here to talk about San Francisco Giants baseball and all things Giants, Rich Aurelia. Richie, I'm used to hearing No Sleep Till Brooklyn before I get you coming on. I thought maybe we'd get that coming in, but a little Rodon on a somber Tuesday for the Giants. How are you, man?
I'm good. I was going to say, I was listening on my drive into the studio today, and I have a better intro for my little 15-minute hit than I did when I had the weekly show.
That's the way we roll around here, Rich.
I know.
That's the way we roll. God, boy, what a mess. I mean, this team right now, I don't even know where to start. Let's start defensively because you got to put a lot of that on the injuries that have really kind of made them shuffle things around, but I still don't know how you go from being as good as they were last year to they just can't catch the ball sometimes. I mean, it took until the second inning yesterday to watch Wilmer Flores chuck one into left field. And I know he's not that great first baseman. I know he maybe doesn't, but still, those are like plays that you got to be able to make, and they're just not making those plays right now.
No, they're not. And you wonder, you hear them talk about, you know, how are we going to clean this up? And I don't have an answer.
Yeah.
Because you go from being a pretty solid defensive team last year and you know, playing pretty clean baseball to now this year. I mean, they got to be ranked down towards the bottom. And yeah, and I agree with you, though, Tommy. I think some of it has to do with injuries. Some of it, you know, and I'm saying this from experience because as you get older as a player, you never want to admit that you're losing a step here or there, but when you retire, you realize, yeah, I was probably losing a step here or there. And these guys, they got a lot of innings under their belt in the infield with, the Brandons and Longoria. And I think the two Brandons, neither one of them has been 100% healthy this year. We'll see what Crawford looks like coming back now from the IL stint. But, you know, there's so many things that factor into it. You got guys playing out of position sometimes because they're trying to get some more offense out there to try and score some more runs. It's just a hard dynamic. And then when you kind of do the line changes pretty much every day, you know, fielding's just like hitting, man. You get into slumps and ruts and, you know, you need consistent play and consistent reps to get out of that rut, both on both sides of the ball. And, you know, honestly, some of these guys don't get a chance to do that because the next day they're not in the lineup.
I got a Rich Aurelia on the UMA guest line. Seems like there's obviously a series of issues for the Giants. I think roster construction is a little bit of a problem. They don't have a lot of depth at infield. Like right now, Brandon Crawford back. Tom and I were saying with Tyro Estrada on the COVID list, if something were to happen to Crawford or he couldn't play for any reason, you may have to go to Wilmer Flores. So that hurts your defense just a little bit more. And then there's also the clubhouse thing that they're talking about, the energy and stuff like that. Not that it's a bad clubhouse, but I was talking to Tom about this earlier, and I'm wondering, I mean, you played for teams that had a lot of good veterans on them. Dusty was always viewed as like a good player manager, got the most out of his guys, loved his vets. You guys also had a coaching staff that was full of guys who played in the majors. I mean, you had like Dave Righetti out there, and then bullpen was Mark Gardner. You had Joe Lafay, and you had Gene Kleins at times. You have Ron Woods, all these guys who had been around baseball for so many years. So when there are ebbs and flows and up and downs, I always thought those were guys you could lean on. These Giants don't necessarily have that sort of well or source of knowledge to go to, because a lot of the guys on the coaching staff don't have that playing experience. How big was that when you played, to have guys you could rely on when you were going through something tough?
Well, I mean, as an example, I mean, I'll just use the hitting coaches I had in Joe Lafay and Gene Kleins. I mean, a lot of times those guys are more psychologists than hitting coaches.
Yeah.
You just need to vent and get stuff off your chest. Where, I don't know, I don't know if this is true or not. This is just how I see things. I think now that there's so many coaches. But two, you have, you know, three different hitting guys, and I don't know, because not being around there every day with those guys, I mean, I don't know if the job of the hitting coach now is to, you know, provide analytics and numbers and stuff like that, or actually break down a swing, or because it seems like they want everybody to lift, right? They want everybody to have a good launch angle, lift the ball. So sometimes when I hear that as a guy who was a gap-to-gap guy, I was a flat bat through the zone kind of guy, and I liked hitting the ball to all fields. It kind of sounds like you're trying to get everybody to do the same thing, which is kind of hard to do when you have a roster of however many 13 position players. You can't all do the same thing. I don't know kind of what's going on in their clubhouse. Listen, we do know they lost Buster. And listen, we all know Buster wasn't a very vocal leader, but he was a leader. And I think if he needed to say something at a given time, he would. I was actually kind of, you know, watching, you know, doing the post game yesterday and hearing Rodon's comments. I was like, all right, it's about time somebody said something. Mm. You know, it can't all be, you know, even keel. And I said this yesterday on the show. The question was brought up, or Gabe made a comment about, you know, we like our guys to not have too many highs and too many lows, and, you know, be even keel and consistent. And my comment was, and not in a bad way, but it's easy to be that way when you win 107 games.
Yep.
When you're losing five in a row and you're under 500, if you throw out the first 2 weeks of the season or whatever it is, then it gets to you. And so to hear those comments by Rodon, you know, maybe he's the vocal guy, the vocal leader who'll step up and say something for this team. But a lot of, you know, and I think they know it, and he said it, a lot of things need to change, and they need to physically do something better, or they're not going to see good results.
It's like one of my least favorite things, Rich, is when somebody says, oh, just go out there and have fun. Yeah, we suck. How am I going to have fun? I look like an idiot if I go out there. I'm laughing like, hey, we've lost seven in a row. Everybody, hey, we want to hear a joke? It's an incredible joke. Listen to this. Like, you look stupid if you're out there like having fun and like in basketball. Like, yeah, I know I'm 0 for 10, but I'm having an awesome time out here.
Look at us, we're in the NBA.
It doesn't work that way. If you want to have fun, you need to win, right? I mean, that's just, you can't do it any other way. You can't do it in the inverse way. You can't say, you know what, we're going to have fun. And then as soon as you have fun, you start winning. I wish it worked that way. It doesn't.
No. I mean, have you, Tommy, in your career, do you ever go, like, when you had Saint, do you ever go up to Saint and say, hey, Saint, I know I'm 0 for 10, but I'm having a great time out
there. Oh, yeah. All day, slap him on the butt, go, you having fun? No, of course you didn't do that.
He's like, Tom, we're down 12.
The next sound you'd hear was, you'd be coming out of the game.
Yeah. Listen, you know this. Both of you guys know this. Winning solves a lot of problems.
Yes.
And if you were winning some games and playing ugly baseball, the topic would still be there. But you're not playing good baseball. I mean, the defense hasn't been good. The offense has been very inconsistent. I mean, they looked great to start out the game yesterday, and then they had two hits in the last six innings. And honestly, the bullpen isn't what it was last year for some reason or another. They do get used a lot. They do get, you know, I'm thinking at some points in time, like when you throw in like an occasional bullpen game where you use five or six guys and then, you know, one of them has to come back the next day. I'm assuming some of those guys get a little worn out. And if you look at all their numbers for appearances, I mean, I think you got like three or four guys that are over 35 appearances, basically about half the games. You know, it's going to take its toll. Do I think they could bounce out of this? Yeah, of course I do. You mean, you have one good week and or a good stretch here before the break and you get some confidence, sure, you could bounce back. But, you know, there are things that need to be done to promote change, and it'd be nice to see it before the break.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
You know, it's interesting looking at last year's numbers, and I was just looking at the OPSs, Rich, and that's just a, you know, one kind of small stat, but Crawford last year was 895, this year 663. Belt was 975, and this year 687. I think Posey was over 802. So those are your veterans. The other, I mean, Ruff hasn't been as good as Strada, but the other guys are about the same. But, yeah, I mean, though, you need your guys who are going to play every day. The other guys are in the lineup, out of the lineup, and you have a lot of different options. But to me, if Crawford and Belt don't pick it up, and I don't know if they will, but if they don't, it's too much to ask all the, I don't want to call them platoon guys, but the guys that, you know, are situational guys, to ask them to all pick it up. I mean, those got to be the guys. Forget Posey, you're not going to be able to replace him, but Crawford and Belt and Longoria, those are your veterans, those are your everyday guys. Mm-hmm. If those guys don't pick it up, then I don't see a path for this team to get, unless they just pitch the hell out of it and start catching the ball, to really get back to being in contention. Maybe they're not even contention for the division anymore, but even make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you're right. You need those guys to start producing in the middle of that lineup, and it isn't fair to expect, you know, all the other, you know, contributors on this team to just step up and have, you know, to take this team into a postseason. And if you look at just look at it from you know, just eyeballing it, you know, last year, every move that was made worked out for a whole season. Like, I can't think of a move that was pulled or made that didn't work out. And now you go to this year. You got injuries starting the year off. You have a short spring training. You had the lockout. Free agency was shut down for a while. You still got COVID stuff going on. A majority of your players who were huge contributors last year were injured and missed a significant amount of time, or just aren't producing up to the potential that we're used to seeing. And then, by the way, you lose the anchor of that team behind home plate. You know, it's tough to do, but that's, you know, that's baseball, man. You know, I come here to the studio and people ask you, you know, what's going on? What's going on with the team? Whatever. And you know what? It's baseball, man. Every year is different.
Yeah.
You can't expect to go out every year and do the same thing. And, you know, the positive side of things is they have time left to make a difference. But as every day passes, we're almost halfway through the season. You got to get on it and get moving now.
Yeah, 78 games in, 40-38. It'll be their 79th game tonight, so we're getting real close to the halfway point. Talking to Rich Aurelia on the UMA guest line. I wanted to ask you about David Villar coming up. He played a lot of third base down in Sacramento. He'd added second base to his bag this season. He played a lot of first base last year, but Giants will probably ask him to bounce around a little bit just out of necessity. I'm wondering, when you came up, I know you played after your first couple of years. I think you played shortstop your entire time here until you went to San Diego or Cincinnati or wherever you went after the Giants. And then I know you came back, you played some first and third. When a young guy comes up like that, what kind of stress is that for him? Because obviously there's a lot going on. You're learning the big leagues, you're getting your bearings, maybe somewhere to live, all that stuff outside of the game. But also they may be asking you to play two or three different positions when you get here. A little bit different, I feel like, than when you came up.
Yeah, totally different. One, I mean, when I came up, you had a so-called utility guy on the bench. Because when I came up, you guys played every day.
Right.
You know, you had your eight regulars, and then you had two guys that, you know, were your utility guys on the bench that could play the infield, and you had your extra outfielders and the backup catcher. Now you got, you know, everybody's just utility everything, it seems like, and they play different positions. I think it's harder for a younger guy, especially a guy like Villar, like yesterday. I mean, you played 11 games at second base in your at least minor league career, and then you're asked to play second base in your big league debut. That's kind of why I think he swung at that first pitch off bomb. I think he was just trying to get the butterflies out. He could have. Yeah. I think he would have swung at that pitch if it was to the backstop. But you know what? It's a tough thing. But I did notice yesterday. Like, I think late in the game, he had a ball hit to him with a guy on third, and infield was in. I think he looked like he lifted his head a little bit, looking at the runner coming home, even though he wouldn't have had a play. There was a steal where the ball went into center. That I always used to take the throws in front of the bag in case there was a throw that went into the runner so I could cut it off and have it not go to center field. And I remember having discussions with Ron Wotus about that for years because he likes guys to be on the bag. You know, certain little things. But, you know, offensively, he looks good. He reminds me like his setup and his swing of a smaller J.D. Martinez with the Red Sox. Just how his setup is, how his hands go through the zone. So we'll see. I mean, it was a nice offensive boost he gave him yesterday, but you know, who knows? Who knows how long he'll be here? Seems like there's a lot of shuffling and moving going on with this roster this year. So I'm sure he's going to have to continue to hit to stay here.
If they get it turned around, and I agree with you, I think they can. What do you think will be the impetus for that? Will it be the pitching, the defense? I mean, God, the defense can't get much worse. It's just hard. It's hard to watch. But what do you think it'll be? Like, what's the one thing you look at right now and go, this is something I could foresee getting a lot better, and that could get them turned in the right direction?
Honestly, for me, I think it's just in all facets of the game, just play better fundamental baseball. You know, whether it's pitching, get ahead of guys and you know, throw more strikes, whether it's on defense, make the routine plays, on offense. If you get a guy on second with nobody out, I mean, at least try and get him to third base to have a productive out.
That's crazy talk, Rich. What are you talking about? They don't do that anymore.
I know.
No one does that anymore. Yeah. You're going to have to get off the front porch. Everybody's got me off my front porch. So no one can hit it from the right field anymore. Forget about that. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago about, I still can't stand in extra innings when they bottom of the 10th and the game's tied. You won't bunt a guy over to third base because all you need is a run. It was like, well, you know, we don't ask them to bunt anymore. I'm like, ah, dang it, they're big leaguers.
Come on.
You bunt the ball. It's not like we're asking you to bunt while traffic's coming at you. You're a baseball player. Bunt the, but now, so I've given up on that, Rich. I'm just like, oh, I guess it's too hard to bunt. I guess it's too hard to get guys over anymore.
Maybe it is. And then, you know, listen, I'm of the belief that, yeah, I understand the game has changed. You're asking me, an older guy who played a long time, has it changed for the better or for the worse? I don't know.
Yes. I agree.
You know, it's one of these, every game seems like it's a three outcome thing. It's a homer, strikeout, or a walk, or you hit into shift. And, you know, it's become, I guess, more accepted. But I don't know if it's right. I don't know if it's wrong. I just cover it and talk about it.
Yeah.
And,
now, hey, I'm with you because
my opinion.
I talk about the same thing with basketball. I still like it and I still watch it. But is it better? I don't know if basketball is better. I don't know if jacking up 83 pointers combined is better. I don't know. It's changed. And it's funny when you talk about it, like, oh, you just like the ball. I'm like, I don't like the ball better. I just think it was more like, I thought this, Rich. I thought with basketball, there was more diversity in the game. There was a mid-range game. There were guys that could do, you know, they had George Gervin's finger roll, Kareem Skyhook. You had all kinds of different varied moves, and the guys could just do more things. I go in baseball, you had bunting, you had hitting running, you had stolen bases.
Yeah.
You had to have guys that could handle the bat a little bit. And now, we don't really ask anybody to do those things. We just ask them to wait for a pitch, try to hit it over 100 miles an hour. I don't care if there's two strikes or not. I don't want to. Yeah, don't worry about your two-strike approach because we don't ask you to do that. anymore. We just, if you can hit it, if you can hit it over 100 miles an hour, swing at it. If you can't, don't swing at it. We don't even care if you strike out looking. If it's a pitch you can't handle, don't swing at it. I was like, well, when does that make sense? Anyway, but the game has changed, and basketball has too. And look, it's, let's be honest, it's numbers. It's about efficiency. That's what people look at, and that's the best way to go about winning a baseball or basketball game. Again, does it make it better? Maybe sometimes. Sometimes I don't think it does.
Listen, I would take – I would be mad at myself and take offense if I had a game where I struck out twice. You know what I mean? Like, my job was to put the ball in play. If I got two strikes, I'd spread my feet out, choke up, and, you know, try and do what I could to get on base. And but now it's, you know, it's kind of being taught. Nobody cares if they strike out.
No.
You know, you got guys that – you know, listen, I don't know if I was listening to you guys the other day or whatever, but, you know, somebody brought up, like, I played with Adam Dunn. Okay, I don't care if Adam Dunn strikes out 200 times. I know the guy's going to hit me 45 homers.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, yes,
but,
he would.
but I don't want some dude hitting 220 with 12 homers and 30 RBI striking out 200 times, and then the year is over, and I hear, oh, he had a pretty good year this year. You know, that's where it's changed. So, you know, that's what's being taught now. And I can't fault the players for it. They're just doing what they're being told, I guess.
Yep. No, no doubt. I was just telling Copes, Richie, there's a guy for the Angels, Brandon Marsh, that plays 250 at bats, 90 strikeouts, and a robust OPS of 630. I'm like, look, if you're going to strike out that many times, your OPS better be well into the 800s, if not 900. Because if your OPS is 630, then you've and this is a guy that can really run. Like, he's got speed. It's like, what are we doing here? You're gonna strike out 90 times in 250 bats, and the return is a 630 OPS. I'm failing to see the payoff for this.
Maybe the next rule change is going to be you will be allowed to steal first base.
That's perfect. That's what's coming. And by the way, he's got
in the middle of a windup.
Yeah,
the guy just
right in the middle of
a windup. Just jump out and go, make a play. By the way, Marsh is at 90 strikeouts right now in the season. Richie, I don't think you could have played in today's game, man. You didn't strike out nearly enough. 90 strikeouts was the most Richie ever had in a full season.
Yeah, I mean, that was my, you know, my game was putting the ball in play from gap to gap. And obviously the game's changed. I mean, you know, you got guys like Marsh, you got guys like, I read a stat the other day, I think it was on social media, where they said something like in the last 3 years of his career, Tony Gwynn struck out like 33 times and Joey Gallo struck out 37 times in June.
Last month. Yeah, I saw that note. Right.
Yeah, it was like ridiculous. And I'm like, you know, that's just where the game's gone. It's about lifting it, hitting it out. If you miss it, you miss it. No big deal. We don't care. So that's where it's gone.
Yep. Well, look at the bright.
This club can start producing some runs and stop making errors.
Yep. Look at the bright side, Rich. If you're playing for this team, you might get a chance to pitch occasionally.
Oh, God. Yeah. Randy Wynn, we both do the pre and post, and we're really good friends. And Randy, he always tells me, he goes, I will refuse to talk about a position player pitching on here. I refuse to talk about it. And here's another thing. Hey, here's one for you to think about, because I've heard comments on this. Like when Luis Gonzalez came in to pitch a couple times, you know, they asked after the game, you know, they asked Gabe, like, hey, do you tell him to throw like that slow? And the comment, I think the answer was, yeah, you know, it's proven that if you do that, it's harder to hit. Well, then why aren't the bullpen guys throwing it?
Why aren't they rolling it to the plate?
it's
better for us if he doesn't throw it.
Contrast. Yeah. But
we've decided it's not cute anymore.
No, we're
tired
not
of it.
Fun to talk about either.
Well, Rich, you speaking of position play, Tom was saying maybe they go the other way. Like if something happens tonight and it's a gets out of hand, maybe they throw Harlan Garcia at second and throw Dom Leon at shortstop and go the other way. But were you playing in that game? Were you back with the Giants when Randy went out to go play third base and Noah Lowry went out to right field and Pedro Feliz went behind the plate?
I think I was in Cincinnati.
Okay, you weren't here yet.
I wasn't here yet. But, yeah, of course, all those guys will tell you, oh, yeah, I could do it.
Pedro was stabbing back there behind the plate. Pedro was sweating it, I think.
Hey, Richie, we always appreciate it, man. It's been far too long since we caught up with you. Hopefully we can do it again soon, but I'm glad you're well. Family's well and everything?
Everything's great, man. I moved up to the Bay Area full-time now. And
nice.
I kind of, not all the time, I don't want to say I frequent, but kind of live up near the Russian River Brewery.
That's a good place to live.
Come up and take a visit, go have some blind pigs along with your Pliny and your STS and whatever.
I could definitely do that. I do enjoy some Russian River Brewing. There's no doubt about it. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it, man.
See you, man.
All right, guys.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right, great stuff from Rich and Rui. That was a fun hit, man. I love talking to the guys from that era.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.